21, the baptism of Jesus. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for the privilege to be here this morning in your presence, to worship you and to hear from your word. And Lord, as we look at these words in the Bible, this description of Jesus being baptized, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand the significance of this. And we just ask for your blessing on the pastor this morning, that you would speak through him and touch our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a teenager, I was attending, as I mentioned last Sunday, two different services, one in Armenian, one in Greek. And when the Greek Evangelical Church was about to baptize young people and others, I was 16 years old. I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I said, "I want to be baptized." Now, I wasn't a Baptist. I didn't even know there were people who call themselves Baptists, and yet I knew that the Bible said I should be baptized. So I went to my parents and I said, Dad, "I want to be baptized." He said, "But you've been baptized already." I said, "Yes, I know, but that wasn't my decision. You decided." I used to go to the Armenian Evangelical, which was like Presbyterian when it came to the doctrine. He said, "We baptize you, and everything is fine." My mom said the same thing. But I said, no, the Bible says I should be baptized. Nevertheless, they said, "Okay, it's up to you." So I was baptized in the Mediterranean Sea at the age of 16. And just to conclude that, to give you a better picture, later on, when just before I got married to my wife, she went through the exact experience. She went to her dad and he said, "You've been baptized before, you don't want to be baptized." And eventually she decided to be baptized, but the same day my parents, who said, "You don't have to be baptized," were baptized right here in this baptistry, long time later. So baptism is not something the Baptists only do. Baptism is very biblical. As a matter of fact, before the word Baptist was invented or people came up with, people were being baptized. As a matter of fact, Jesus himself was baptized. John the Baptist, or baptizer, was a great man of God who had a very short and simple message. It was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He was not the leader of a big church or religious group. He was not a trained evangelist, and he did not have an organization behind him or even a meeting place. And yet people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and all and the whole region of the Jordan, we read in chapter 3, verse 5 of Matthew. His message was simple and powerful, but not politically correct. You think today we're struggling with being politically correct or not? No, even in those days, you have John the Baptist who came up and started preaching the truth as the Bible wanted him, God wanted him to preach. And he started preaching about repentance and confessing your sins and being baptized. And that wasn't politically correct because he also said you have to live a life that is pleasing to God. And because he was not politically correct, he hurt the feelings of the leadership. In fact, it was so powerful that made King Herod very upset, and he had him beheaded. His message was to the point: repent, confess, be baptized. Repent means or meant to feel sorry for having done wrong, to regret for something done in the past. Repent is, of course, to be forgiven is conditional. First, it starts with repentance. Judas did repent. Judas was very, very sorry for what he had done. But he did not ask for forgiveness. Peter repented, and then he asked for forgiveness for what he had done, and he was forgiven. So first, John the Baptist or John the Baptizer or John, Jesus' cousin, was preaching a message that bypassed all the religious activities and religiosity and doctrinal confusion that existed in those days. To be a follower of God would be very complicated and confusing. The Ten Commandments, and then you had other commandments and laws that Moses had given, and the leaders of the temple and the hypocrisy that existed there. So people had left faith and had wandered away, as today Quebec is a good example. Quebecers were one of the most religious provinces in Canada. And today is the least evangelized. As a matter of fact, the number, the percentage is 0.07, right, Vivian? 6, going down. Or going up a little. Anyways, Quebec needs to be evangelized. Well, that's exactly what was happening in those days. And John the Baptist came up and said, "What is this? We all are going to hell unless we repent and ask for forgiveness and make that decision public by being baptized." That's what John the Baptist was saying. He wasn't preaching, "You want to become a Baptist? It's cool." No, he never thought of any religious connection. He never put any religious connection to being baptized. First was repent. And then the second thing he preached was confess. Confess meant to acknowledge, to tell one's sins in order to obtain forgiveness. I may hurt my wife's feelings. I may do something that is terrible. And then I want to go to bed to sleep and I can't sleep because I've done something terrible, and I repent and I say, "Oh, I'm so stupid. I shouldn't have done it that." And I feel so bad. But she has been already hurt. And my being sorry for it, it's not enough if she doesn't know that I'm sorry and I would like to make things right. And so I go to her and I say, "I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings." And she may say, well, you know, you've done this for the 20th time. No, she won't say, but there may be a wife or a husband may say that. And you know, let me think about it. Okay, or we're going to get a divorce. I mean, people today, they don't even have to wait for 3 times, let alone 20. They ask for a divorce. So I go to my wife and I say, I really sorry, please forgive me. And she says, you know, I forgive you, I love you. Well, that's exactly what happens with God. We sin, we hurt his feelings, we sin against the Holy Spirit, and we are sorry, like Judas. Oh, what did I do? An innocent man is going to die because of me. I'm going to kill myself. And he goes and kills himself. Well, that didn't do much good to him, nor to Jesus. But Peter was so sorry that he cried, wept. Confess means to acknowledge, to tell one's sins in order to be forgiven. And then baptism. What is this baptism? I mean, a lot of people have... I was sort of visiting some sites to see what different denominations and different churches and different religions think about baptism. And you have the one extreme, from the one extreme to the other extreme. All kinds of things and theories and doctrines and explanations to something that John the Baptist never said or meant. Baptism was a very basic, simple example of us dying to sin and being resurrected a new person. That's the message of baptism. Baptism is a symbol or a picture acted out publicly that says the old person with all the sins has died and a new one is born. Someone may ask, why did Jesus ask to be baptized then? That is a very fair question to ask. Why? He didn't have anything to confess. Well, let me just go a little further and say, well, Jesus did not have to repent because he had no sin. He was without sin. He was and is holy. And Jesus did not have to confess because he didn't have to repent. He didn't have to confess because there was no sin to confess. And there was no need for Jesus to be baptized. And yet he went to John to be baptized by him. Why? I understand some of the explanations people give. Well, we baptized, or they baptized people because in those days they were all pagan. They didn't believe in God. They believed in, they worshiped the sun and animals and things. And so to turn them into Christians, they had to baptize. That's what they said. Well, if that is so, why did Jesus go to John to be baptized? Jesus did not ask John to baptize him so his sins may be forgiven, because baptism does not cleanse anyone from his sin or his sins. God does. And again, that reminds me of, and I've shared this before, in the book you'll see a group, Ghanaians, about, oh, I don't know how many they are, 8, 9 Ghanaians, wearing the black robes, ready to be baptized. In that particular day, on that particular class, I should say, of people who came to be baptized, there was a man and came to me and he said, I was asking them all to give their testimonies. I've asked the people who are going to be baptized on the 27th to give their testimonies, and they have. And I asked him to give his testimony, or asked him why he does he want to be baptized, and he said, well, Pastor, actually, I have terrible habits. I drink, I do drugs, and I cheat and all that. And I want to be baptized so all these things will go away. I said, you know what? You're not ready to be baptized because these things are not going to go away, and you're not going to get any cleaner when I dip you in that water, because it's not, holy water or anything like that. You will be the same unless you invite Christ in your heart. And unless there is a new birth from the inside out, and then you are ready to be baptized. But the water itself, baptism itself, does not purify anyone. So when we take a little baby, and we either sprinkle that baby with the water, or I don't know, put it in a little baptistry, and nothing happens to the child because the child doesn't even know it. As a matter of fact, doesn't even like it. How would you like if they do that to you? Just take you and... No. But the parents, I understand, they have the desire to see their child grow up to be a Christian. Their desire, I can understand. That's why my parents baptized me, and that's why my wife's parents baptized her, because that's what the church taught us in those days. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus was taken to the temple not to be baptized, but to be dedicated. And that's why we dedicate little babies. Now, dedication means the parents and the church congregation pray to God and bring this child to God and say, we dedicate this child to you. But later on, we know this child has to make up his or her mind whether he believes in you or worships you or not. And then the time comes when that child will ask to be baptized. Jesus did not ask John to be baptized, to baptize him so his sins may be forgiven, because baptism does not cleanse anyone from his or her sins, I said. Let's see then why Jesus came to John to be baptized. In Matthew 3, verses 13 to 15, we read, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill righteousness. No matter how scholars and theologians may explain or interpret Jesus' baptism, Jesus' response to John should be sufficient. It was to fulfill all righteousness and an example for his followers to follow. That's why Jesus was baptized. He was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to be right with God. All the arguments and reasons why it is not necessary for believers to be baptized and follow Christ's example fall short of the biblical truth. It is necessary because that was his command in his commission to his followers. Today, baptism is misunderstood, misused, and even abused by millions who call themselves Christians. Excuse me. It means different things to different people. To some, baptism is the only thing that stands between life and death. And that's so true. I come from a country where unless a baby is baptized, that baby will go to hell. Heaven and hell, they believe, is determined by baptism. Christianity and paganism is determined by baptism. For others, baptism is tradition that must be followed at any cost, regardless of faith or lack of it. Even among Christian believers, there are variations from believing that baptism saves and washes away sins to ignoring it altogether. Baptism has a very important place in the New Testament. It is a command given by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, now this is Jesus speaking, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. He did not say only preach the gospel of salvation and prosperity. He did not say, do only, you can pick and choose what you want to do. He said, teach them to do everything I have commanded. And baptism, obviously, is part of what he said. Now, why we have taken, or people have taken baptism and sort of pushed it aside, and taken sort of salvation and pushed it aside, and they brought up something like confession, and they said confession is the most important thing. You go to the priest, sit there, and tell him what you have done, and he says, okay, my son, you are forgiven. You go to the pastor who preaches the gospel and say, oh, pastor, I'm so sorry for my past, and he says, bless you, God. You confess your sins, you are forgiven. Now you can go and do whatever you want, and God is going to give you everything you need. You'll be prosperous. And you know what? The gospel has become cheap, easy believism today. Jesus never said that. Jesus never did that. Even among Christians, this is happening. Baptism has a very important place in the New Testament. Therefore, we should follow it. It is very clear that every true believer must observe it. In Matthew 16:16, Jesus said, whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. It is true that we are saved by believing. No, baptism does not save anyone or make anyone or an unbeliever a Christian. We are saved by faith, not by works, so no one can boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. When a person believes in Jesus and makes him his Lord and Savior, that person becomes a new creature. A transformation, a metamorphosis takes place. The change is so radical, so complete, that the Bible calls it being born again. The Greek word of this change is metamorphosis. Transformation. The old person with all the sins has died, and a new one is born. That is the symbolism of baptism. Romans 6:3-4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism is for believers only, who repent from their sins and want to follow Christ and his example. Acts 2:33-34 says, repent and be baptized, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's another thing. One of the extremes I've seen is churches who call themselves conservative. And what is being conservative? I sometimes say I'm conservative and they get the wrong impression, so I drop that. So I used to say I'm fundamentalist, or I believe in the fundamentals. Or they said, you are like Khomeini. I dropped that. So now I only say I am a follower of Jesus Christ and I want to follow Him and I want to obey Him and I want to live a holy life. So I was visiting some of these sites and for some churches believe that to be baptized you have to go through a very extensive like 6 months to go through classes and all kinds of educational stuff is given. Well, that's fine, but it's not biblical. The Ethiopian was reading the Bible, couldn't understand a word, and then Philip comes and says, "What are you reading?" And he says, "I don't know what I'm reading. I'm reading something. I like it, but I can't understand." And he says, "I'll come up and I'll help you." And he helps him and he reads it and he believes. And he says, "Well, there's water. Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip says, "Yeah, okay, let's go down." That's because he believed. There was already a change taking place. He had changed. And now, to demonstrate to the people around him and to make that express his change outwardly, he went into the water and he was baptized. And here we read that 3,000 people, when they believed and accepted Jesus, were baptized. Not because they wanted to be Baptists, not because they wanted to join a church, not because the doctrine calls for baptism, not because they wanted to be sort of feel safe that they were sort of, they have become now the chosen people, better or more chosen than before, but because they accepted the message of salvation, repentance and salvation, now they wanted to follow Christ and His example. I would like to repeat this. Baptism is the outward expression of the inward change that has already taken place. Baptism that is forced on someone cannot, will not change a person and cannot in any way guarantee eternal life with God. Baptize. The Greek word is baptizo. And it means to dip or to immerse. And that is exactly how John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And verse 16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up and out of the water. He wasn't sprinkled. Baptism is not an option. It is a command according to the Word of God. And I know many people have difficulties in accepting that. And many people think that baptism is like committing someone's self or to something that you won't be able to deal with. Well, excuse me. If you have never made that commitment, don't worry. Baptism is not going to kill you or save you. Baptism is something, it's very effective and it's very meaningful for someone who has said, I want to follow you. Christ, come into my life. Take over my life. And I want to die to the past, sinful Joseph. And I want to be a new creature. And to demonstrate that you have done that, I wanted that and you've done it. And now to demonstrate that, I want to do it publicly as Jesus did. I want to follow His example. That's what baptism is. Now, if Jesus, our Lord, found it necessary to be baptized to fulfill all the righteousness, do you think that we must have a choice to follow or not follow His example? If He found it necessary to be baptized, should we not follow His example and be baptized, regardless of all the arguments and interpretations given? God does not command us to do things that are not necessary. God does not command us to do things that are not necessary. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. That's why they will be going out to give out tracts. That's why you witness to people. That's why we invite them to church, because we want to make people followers of Christ, not members of this church. If they want to become, that's fine. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. On the day of Pentecost, when people heard Apostle Peter's message, they asked, what shall we do? Peter's response was, repent and be baptized, every one of you. One day, as Philip preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they believed, and I'm quoting Acts 8:12. They believed, and they were baptized, both men and women. 2,000 years later, the answer to the question, what shall we do? What shall I do? Remains the same. Repent from your sins, confess them to God, and be baptized as a believer and follower of Christ. If there is anyone that has any questions or wants to know any more about baptism, or if you would like to be baptized, or to know that you know someone that wants to be baptized, please speak to me after this morning service. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus. You loved us so much that you sent him to save us from eternal death. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for going through everything that your mission had for you. You suffered for us, and you gave us the best example there is, to be patient. You were baptized to give us a picture of what a transformation or being born is all about, to die to sin and be resurrected to an eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit to help us, to comfort us, to convict us of sin. And Lord, we thank you for being with us this morning. May the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and strengthen us and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, amen.